This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday, October the 19th, 2013. It's 3 p.m. The mothership has landed. Queer Geeks of Oz is here. Queer Geeks of Oz, for all you LGBTIQ, sci-fi, horror, and pop culture fans. History will be made. Time travel will be achieved at Armageddon, at the Melbourne Showgrounds here in Batmania. For the very first time, LGBTIQ people represent. With Queer Geeks of Oz, a special panel only at Armageddon. Sci-Fi and Squeam presents Queer Geeks of Oz. Get your geek on, queers.
Hi, I'm Marjorie Liu from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Ah, Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. And we have in the studio speaking to us Alexis Sugden, animator and illustrator all the way from Brisbane. But she's been kind enough to come all the way down here to Melbourne, not just to be on Sci-Fi and Squeam, of course, but because she's involved with a few things on this weekend. Welcome to the show, Alexis.
Hello.
Great. All right. So, yes, why were you here in Melbourne on the weekend?
I was here to be part of the Melbourne Writers Festival, mm-hmm. and we were doing a comic book launch. So the comic book that I was launching, per se, has been out for a while, but I'm really bad at promotional kind of stuff. And when mm-hmm. I was at Supernova, Bruce Mutard came and was like, oh, your comic's pretty good. Do you want to come down to Melbourne and launch it with the Writers Festival? And I thought that sounded like fun, and it was fun. It was really good.
Yeah. Was this part of Skinny Ass? That's his baby.
Yeah, Skinny Ass launch. Yeah.
Love the name. This big ass and skinny ass. Yeah, so that's been part of the Writers Festival, which is fabulous. There's so much going on in Melbourne in that sort of area, writing and creating and so on. So what did you do? You were telling me off air that there's some sort of speed drawing.
Oh, yeah. Event. I was also part of Draw Faster. Mm-hmm. So there were two teams of two, and the audience decided what we would be drawing, and we were sort of competing with each other and drawing the same comic, and so everyone in the audience decided what to draw, and then we would draw one panel at a time on a really big piece of paper, and we had like 3 minutes to do a panel, and then we had to do it really fast, and it was really fun.
How did that go? Did you get some really strange requests or
because it was like you do one panel at a time, and at the end you've got a whole comic strip. So it was weird. It was like a karate fighting meerkat, and there was a politician slug, and an ice cream vendor. Yeah, it was very fun.
Now, Alexis, your background, let's have a look. You've been, like you told me off air, you said that you've been drawing since, well, forever. When did you decide that you wanted to do comics or illustrations?
Drawing just forever, but I really got into it in high school at about 14. That's when I started keeping like a sketchbook, and I would carry it with me everywhere and just fill it up with everything, and I started doing comics and stuff then. Like right now, I'm currently going through the process of scanning every sketchbook that I had since I was 14. About 7 sketchbooks in, and that's only 5 months worth of drawing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I was really prolific then.
Well, I guess hopefully, probably more time. Doing your homework, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I used to draw in class all the time.
Yeah. It's more stimulating, I guess. Yeah. But what's happening for you now? Just take us through perhaps some of the work. My Sister's Voice, for example. What can you tell us about that?
Okay. Well, I started that one when I was sort of between jobs and I really just needed something to do. Then I got employed fairly quickly after starting it, but I kept going and I was doing it in my spare time. And it's about these two sisters, and one of them, they're living with their mother in a lighthouse, so they're pretty isolated and they've kind of only got each other. And one of them is getting married to a sea captain and leaving, and the one who's being left behind takes it really badly. So they they have this fight at the start of the comic, and the sister leaves and goes missing at sea. So the one who's left behind, she and her mother go looking for her, and she's also got the ghost of her grandmother with her.
Wow,
so
it's
all kind of dark and like gloomy, and they're all on the ocean just looking for her, and there's mysterious things that I can't tell you. I don't want to give away the end.
Okay. What inspired you to do something like this? That sort of theme?
I don't know. I'd done like lots of silly things, and then when I was at uni, my third year animation film was quite silly. But then I did honours and I was doing a film just by myself. And I decided, okay, let's try to do something very serious and beautiful. And I thought that was pretty good. And so then when I wanted to start a comic, and I wanted it to be like a standalone novel, something that I could finish.
Yep.
Because I hadn't really finished any of my other comics before. So I thought I would try to make something like serious and beautiful and see if I could pull it off. And I think it turned out okay.
Yay. Well, excellent. To describe the look of or the style that you use, that is your unique style. How would you describe it? It is quite animated. I don't know how to describe it, but I can see how it would move. It could be created into an animated short feature even or something like that.
Awesome. Oh, that's nice.
Is it like your animated work that you do for a living, you told me? So
well, because for my job I'm part of a team, and it's all really collaborative, and it depends on what the client wants.
So
the stuff that I do for my job doesn't really look like my own personal style. So, which is great, because then with comics I can just be a little bit really selfish and just be like, yeah, I'm just going to do everything exactly how I want it, which is very fun.
Which is good.
But it's really influenced especially by Marjane Satrapi, who did Persepolis.
That's beautiful, that one.
And also Craig Thompson. I think his best known comics are Blankets and Habibi.
Oh, okay, I don't know. I'm not familiar with. I'll have to look him up.
It's a lot of like ink and brush strokes. Beautiful.
That's I'm trying to think in my mind how to describe it for audio, for radio. It is tricky sometimes with visual stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that flat sort of minimalist almost coloration, and you use a lot of dark in your palette, but then you have some really strong reds and things like that happening, which reminds me of Persepolis and flat is the word. Flat?
yeah, I would say it's quite flat, but like, I don't know, because I really like that 2D aesthetic where they've gone out of their way to make it look quite flat. And yet you need...
But movement. There's movement in it.
But you need like a good structure underneath for it to look good, because otherwise it just looks terrible and stiff.
I don't know if this is working, but...
Well, they could look on the internet.
They could look it up on the internet. Yeah, it's marvellous work. And do you call it a graphic novel?
I don't mind being pretentious, because I think graphic novel kind of lets people know what it is more, because when you say comic, people automatically think like superheroes or newspaper comics, and this isn't really that kind of comic.
No, it's sort of in the middle there, really.
Yeah, it's a bit more serious.
How many pages is it as the comic?
I think it's 68, about that many.
See, I'm not sure myself what the definitions are of graphic novel, but I think a graphic novel is supposed to be longer versions of a comic, really, isn't it? Sometimes an adaptation of something, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Guessing. So it's not quite Alan Moore, but no, it's not. It's obviously not a superhero.
Yeah, it's not thing. Yeah, it's not Superman. It's not Garfield.
All right, definitely not. No, it's beautiful. And so what gave you the ideas for the characters, like the two sisters? Is there anything there in your own, you know, experiences?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm quite close with my younger sister, and she's got a serious boyfriend. And, you know, I could definitely see them getting married. And I'm just like, marriage? Blah. Why would you do that? And your priorities will change, and then we won't be friends. And, you know, so, like, there's some real life stuff. It's not autobiographical, but there is a lot of real life stuff sort of in there.
Yep.
Because both of my grandmothers had passed away before I was born. I liked the idea. Like, I've always kind of wanted a grandmother, and I like the idea of this character having, like, the ghost of a grandmother.
That's cool.
But the relationship that she has with her mother is not, like, it's not the relationship I have with my mom. Like, we get on better than that.
If you're listening now, Alexis's mum.
Yeah, I love you, mum.
It's fine. Remember, it's fiction.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's cool. That's really interesting. I thought you were going to say, I live in a lighthouse.
No.
Though that would be neat, I think, myself.
Might get a bit lonely.
It could do. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
In your career, I mean, it's obviously taking off. There's been Crazy Cat Lady. That's something you did in a 24-hour kamikaze challenge. What exactly is a kamikaze challenge?
Okay, so kamikaze was holding this 24-hour comic challenge, and basically you make a 24-page comic in 24 hours. So you're making one page per hour, and you just do it all in one go.
Okay.
So there was a bunch of it's really full on.
No, what's with all this time? time restriction stuff.
Yeah, it was really fun though. Because there was a bunch of us in Brisbane. We went to Ace Comics and Games. They had a comic shop, and they've got like this room down the bottom where people can play card games and stuff. And so on one side of that room, there were people playing games, and on the other side, there was a bunch of us making comics. And then eventually the people playing games went home, like regular people, and we kept going for the full, for full 24 hours. It was insane.
Oh, because I was thinking how you monitor that. So you all had to stay for like...
Yeah, well, it was all online.
Okay.
And there were three words that you had to incorporate into the comic to prove that you were doing it within, like you were responding to the words and doing it within the time. And you're meant to upload as you go, and you had to upload.
What about the work and safety aspects? Work, health,
fine.
And safety.
People don't need sleep for
comics. I'm alive. Was that the code? I'm still awake.
It kind of felt that way at the end.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Well, look, that gets me onto the topic of asking you about Brisbane.
Yep.
Because Brisbane sounds like there's some things going on there.
Yeah.
What's the comic scene like up there?
Yeah, really good, really friendly. Mm-hmm. I love the comic scene in Brisbane. Because when I did My Sister's Voice, that was my first sort of like serious comic. And I got that printed up and took it to Supernova. And before then, I didn't really know anyone else who did comics.
Okay, yeah.
And then at Supernova, I met all these people and everyone's so nice. And they sort of just just embraced me and folded me into the group. And it's like, oh, it's such a great... warm little group in Brisbane.
That's cool. So they have regular meetups or things like that?
Yeah, every second Thursday there's drink and draw.
Drink and draw. Yep. Not necessarily in that order, but... Yep, oh, no, that sounds good. So there's a healthy community of artists and comic artists there. Yep. That's good. All right. So how many would you say there are in Brisbane? Do you have any idea? Is there any way to compare it, I guess, to Melbourne? Do you know?
No idea.
Because there seems to be a heap here. So, I mean, when I say a heap, many, many, many people.
It's hard to say because not everyone who's making comics is part of the group.
Exactly.
Like, some people just go off and do their own thing. And I think we've usually got at least a dozen people at every drink and draw.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, also, as far as Brisbane activity and the community of comic artists and illustrators there, is there anything that you can see that makes it very Brisbane? Do you know, like, is there some common sort of thread you guys have or style? Is there a Brisbane comic style?
I don't know. I think we all do pretty different stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if there might be.
No, not really.
For historians, you know, for cultural archaeologists one day, they might say, yes, that's the Brisbane...
Maybe they could tell because our pages would be covered in sweat because Brisbane's nice and hot. It's very cold here.
Yeah, it must be a shock to you. You're right.
I'm doing okay so far.
This is actually a warm day in Melbourne. Scary.
I'm wearing my heavy coat. This is my deep of winter coat.
The one that you've only used once, probably.
Pretty much. I never wear this in Brisbane. It's always went in Sydney or Melbourne.
What's the temperature up there now, roughly, this time of year?
Oh, we're kind of in a cold snap, which means that I wear a hoodie outside.
So it's in the 20s or something.
Yeah.
That's the cold snap, people.
Yep.
So we're going to have lots of listeners want to move to Brisbane after this, especially if they live here in dark and grey Melbourne. Oh, well. Still, that's why we have maybe, I don't know, more art sort of stuff here generally, I think.
My friend does stay have a theory. Outside. Yeah, my friend at work has a theory that when it's cold, you stay inside and you draw more.
Yeah.
And so you end up with more artists.
Perhaps. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Look, okay, so for the campaign for My Sister's Voice, you did something really successful. And a lot of that crowdfunding generally seems to be what people are doing now. You did Possible. That campaign was a success for you to get it printed, is that right?
Yeah. I hit my goal really quickly, which was amazing. I think because I only wanted money to get it printed. Like, it was already finished.
Yeah.
So it was a very easy... It was like an easy goal. All I needed was printing money. And it was an easy thing to convince people to give money to because they could get it pretty quickly. They didn't have to wait for me to make it or anything.
That's a clever way to do it. You've already done the work. So.
Yeah. Although, I don't know, I can see why people who do Possible campaigns to get money to make it, I also want to support that as well. Like, that's also cool. But, you know, it's just a little easier, I think, when you've got it already there.
Cool.
Yeah.
And now is it available? I mean, where can people... find out how to get hold of a copy and, you know, distribution wise.
Oh, okay. I'm really bad at all the promotional kind of stuff. I'm a bit of a hermit. I just want to sit in my room and draw. On my website, alexasugden.com, you can buy the book there. And I think I've got a link because I've been putting it up one page per week on tapastic.com. And there should be a link on my website.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, good. So people can have a look at it, look through it without spoiling it too much.
Well, yeah, the end's not there yet.
Oh, good. That's good.
Because I'm trying to have a bit more of a web presence so that then...
Oh, yeah.
So then when my next book comes out, I'll have more people.
Exactly.
You know, that would be nice.
That's the way it seems to be going. If you don't have a web presence, if you're not there and on it all the time...
But I'm not very good at it.
I think it's time. I think it's like you need to have a whole, at least one day a week to catch up.
Dedicated with, Facebook.
That's it.
It's for my career.
That's right. Self-promotion and all that. That's good. All right. So currently, because we are an LGBTIQ show, we try as much as to get content for Sci-Fi and Squeam to talk about any sort of themes that relate to LGBTIQ and people with those experiences, perhaps. I believe that you said off air that you're working on something at the moment, a project that has got some queer elements.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that?
I can tell you lots about that.
Oh, cool.
Except how it good. Ends. Yeah. I love talking about whatever I'm working on.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
Okay, so it's these two girls and their friends, and they get attacked by this guy, and in self-defense, they accidentally kill him.
Okay.
And... One of these girls has in her bedroom this crack in her wall, which is a crack in time and space. So she's like,
wow.
Oh, I have the perfect place to hide this body. Excellent.
Okay, yeah.
And so, like, they hide the body, and there are just all these ramifications from this thing that they've done. That sort of sets off this feeling in this other girl because her brother gets attacked by some kids in school because he's trans.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes out, and like he gets attacked by these kids in school. So she's very upset, and she decides, well, we've killed once, let's kill again. And they go after like this guy who attacked her brother. Except things don't go very well, and he escapes through the crack in time, and they have to go and find him. And they're sort of time traveling and falling in love, and just all this wackiness. And there's another character from the book is King Ludwig II from Bavaria.
Right, Mad King Ludwig.
Yes.
Yeah,
Mad King Ludwig.
Yep.
Yes, he also has a crack in time, but he thinks that it's actually this doorway to another world that God has granted him so that he can be gay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So he doesn't think that he's actually in like the real world per se. He doesn't think he's in the future.
Right.
He thinks it's just like a special little world for him.
Okay.
Where he's allowed to sort of, you know, sin.
Right.
Live out his fantasies. He's from the past.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was a real person.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the past, I think. Yeah. I don't...
He is a real person. I've just
the castle's pretty. I've seen the castle.
It's beautiful.
It's pretty out there.
Yeah, it's the Disney castle.
It is, isn't it? It's like something from a cake, an over-the-top cake. It looks like that anyway. Wow. This sounds like there's a lot of different story elements happening. Is this the most complicated one you've done?
Yeah, they get more complicated, each one, as they go along. So I think I've spent maybe 5 or 6 months getting the script just right. And
right.
Yeah, so like I set up a writing group with people in Brisbane, and we all got together and discussed our projects, and I got so much useful feedback and great ideas from that. It was really good. The script was originally more than 100 pages long, but I managed to cut it down to 70. And I think in comic book pages, it will probably be more than 100 pages.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah.
And that does start to sound like the graphic novel we were talking about. Epic graphic novel.
It's epic.
It's epic.
It's just me.
It's very, it sounds like it's going to be hard to draw. Is this going to be hard to, there are so many elements going on in it.
Well,
is that a challenge for you?
I planned it out pretty well. Like, I've got the script. Mm-hmm. Like, I really honed that script until it's something that I'm just like, okay, good. This is pretty perfect. I won't have to change too much as I go along because things always change. And then I storyboard everything before I do the real pages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like I design the characters beforehand. And so it's not too hard to draw out. It's more just a case of sitting down and doing it.
Right, yep. And this is the thing, getting the time to do it. So you think it's going to take you, 6 months?
Yeah, I think,
to put together?
Yeah, I think another 6 months before I'm done, at least. Because it's all in my free time.
Yeah. This is the thing. The suffering for your art and your free time,
it's what I like to do in my free time.
Well, there's some really interesting themes and ideas in that one. Do you have a name for it yet?
I think the working title right now is Women's Business.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a reference to some of the dialogue in the comic, but the title could change.
Okay, so that's just the working title, people.
Yeah.
Expect it to change, perhaps, into the future. But, it'll be interesting. Great. That's exciting. So what influenced you to want to tackle, there are some, obviously, topics in there, gay topics and stuff like that. Was there any reason you wanted to look at those sort of themes? Or you just wanted to?
Yeah, heaps of reasons. So I wanted a female main character, for a start, because in a lot of media, there aren't as many female characters. Like in uni, I've discovered that in animation, about less than 25% of all the characters on screen are female, which is really crazy.
That's disturbing considering half of the population.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. So then when I'm doing my own work, I'm just like, well, why not have female characters as my main characters?
Yeah.
Like, why not? So I wanted a female main character, and I hadn't really done a proper romance story before. So I thought I would like to have people falling in love. And then I was like, oh, well, it doesn't have to be straight romance. I'll have her fall in love with a woman. Excellent. Yeah, so I was developing these characters, and I wanted Ludwig in there because he's one of my favorite people from history. I just find him fascinating. Then I gave the main character a brother, and when I was a teenager, I really identified as trans because I was just going through a lot of things. And so I know a lot about that community, and I've got quite a few trans friends. And I don't know, just every element. I'm just like, why wouldn't I have this
why
thing?
Not? Yeah. Well, yeah, how many are there? I mean, as trans characters, there's probably very, very few that are represented in the comic culture, let alone any other medium.
Yeah. Although there is a webcomic that I've been reading, Questionable Content.
Okay.
Which recently introduced a trans character, and they've been treating that character just so well. And just, like, handling that character really beautifully. I'm really impressed.
And what's the name of the site?
Questionable Content.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to look that up.
That's the name of the comic.
Oh, that's the name of the comic.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll have to look at that because that is an area that certainly we don't hear enough about.
Mm.
Definitely not in mainstream. Although Gail Simone, who's been writing Batgirl comic, I might have to edit that, but she has introduced a trans character.
Oh, awesome.
Which is really interesting. And we spoke to her at, I think it was Supernova this year, and just asked her why she did that. And she said, well, but like your answer, why not?
Yeah.
Because they're not represented, for one thing. Yeah, why not have a character in there?
Oh, that's
makes
cool.
sense.
Well, yeah, when I was younger and starting to read comics in the library, and I was maybe 11 or 12 and reading graphic novels, so I was reading stuff that was too old for me. And those were the time, like, that was the first time that I got introduced to gay characters and trans characters was through comics, which was pretty cool. I was reading Strangers in Paradise.
Oh, yes. Which
was great. And also Neil Gaiman's The Sandman series.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there was some I can't remember if there was more than one. There was at least one trans character in there, and also gay characters, and which was great because it was something that hadn't really been explained properly to me, except by other kids. Yeah, I don't know. It was the first time that I was introduced to these themes was through comics, and it was introduced in a really nice way, I think.
Yeah. Well, just in a very way.
Yeah, like a matter-of-fact kind of way, and not like, ew, this is gross.
Yeah. Just not highlighting those characters as much. It's just they're just part and parcel of society.
Yeah.
That's important. I think Neil Gaiman's been incredibly influential in that respect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's still one of my biggest influences. I love Neil Gaiman.
What would be your favourite of his, do you think? Do you have a favourite? Is that too hard? Too mean?
That is hard. A Nancy Boys. That was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, that was very fun. I like that book.
Okay. Well, these are good because we'll put these on our Facebook and things like that so people can, you know, look them up and find out for themselves, which is always good. And that's why I like asking those questions to people I talk to for the show, because it's really good to know where they've come from and what's actually inspired them or made them feel that they can do what they do, you know. Did you feel that that's why you wanted to be, well, you're not just an illustrator, you are actually a writer.
Yeah.
Because some people just do the illustrative side and don't worry about the content or any story part of it, but you do both. So would you say that Gaiman's been a real big influence on anybody else?
Oh, yeah, he's been a big influence. When I was in primary school, I was really into writing, and I was like, when I grow up, I'll be a writer. And my mum took me to meet Paul Jennings and all that kind of stuff. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
when I got into high school, I think that's when I was getting more into art.
Yeah.
And and that was when you had to figure out, what are you going to do with your life? So I knew
Pressure's on.
Yeah, I knew I wanted to do something creative, but I didn't want to do something by myself, because then I knew that I would just stay alone all the time and I wouldn't push myself to make new friends. So I thought, animation sounds good. Like, that's a thing that you do in a big group.
You have to work with other people.
Yeah. Like, it's teamwork. It's really fun. And, you know, when you watch the behind the scenes on Pixar DVDs, it's like, oh, look at that. That looks like a great place to work. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, comics was something I was just always doing. Didn't even think about it.
Anything else you want to chat about, Alexis? Anything else coming up or anything? Now's your chance. You can say what you like. That's cool.
Well, yeah, I know when I was a teenager, I think webcomics were a really big influence, because I could see just such an array of people making comics and such a great variety of quality. And that's when I was like, oh, I can do this too.
Right. So what do you think about webcomics compared to going to your comic store or wherever you know, purchase them, and having the real physical, you know, medium in front of you, paper and ink and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
If you had to choose?
Oh, so hard. Because
I know some people say definitely no to webcomics. I know people that will go, no.
Ew.
Other people go, no, webcomics is the future. And, you know, of course, I think it's a combination, really.
Yeah, I would agree. Because, I don't know, some comics are just so great when you see them in their physical form and you've got exactly the right size and colour, and I don't know, like, there really is something so good about just holding a physical book.
Yep.
But I love webcomics and they're so easy to access. And I do really like, I never thought I would love my Kindle so much, my ebook reader, but I do. It's so great to have just hundreds of things in my bag in this slim little thing. So yeah, like, I'm definitely being converted to digital stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both good.
Yeah. I guess it's the access, the ease of use on when you're looking at electronic media and that type of thing. But I guess also nothing beats the real thing. And as a friend said to me, it's the smell of a new comic. And I'm going, you sniff them? Weirdo. No, but I understand what he means. It's like a fresh new book that's just been printed. It's like there's something very almost intoxicating, and it's very thrilling to touch something like that.
Yeah.
If it's a classic and a collectible piece and you're excited about it, that's pretty cool. But I like the fact that you can go on the web, like you say, and find the most amazing things by pure chance sometimes.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, I didn't really have any money for comics. So I would go to the library and get them and go on the internet, and there's just so many comics out there.
Right.
Yeah, and you can, like, really hone in and find exactly the kind of niche markets that you want, because they're just everywhere and you can get to all of them.
It's mind-boggling.
Internet, so good.
That's good. It takes you out there. It's almost like time travel itself, I guess. So at the moment, is there any favourites that you can mention or think of that you're looking at now?
Erica Moen is one of my favorite comic book artists.
Okay.
And she's just started doing a she's very, very queer, and she's just started doing a comic called Oh Joy Sex Toy. Which is great, where she reviews sex toys good. And related really? Things. Yeah. And it's very inclusive.
In a so comic good. Way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. It's really inclusive, and she like portrays lots of different people and speaks to different people and what they're after. And yeah, she's great. She's got other comics as well, but that's what she's doing right
what's
now.
What's her last name?
Moen. M-O-E-N.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think I've heard of her actually. Yeah. Now that you've spelled the name, that Moen, that's it. We'll look that one up too. Oh joy, yeah. Sex toy. Sounds hilarious.
And also, Lucy Nicely was down for the Melbourne Writers Festival.
Yep. Okay, cool.
She is one of my favourite comic artists, and I got to meet her and give her one of my comics. It was really exciting.
Wow. It's cool when you, as a fan, and then you meet them for the first time.
Yes. That's pretty. That was really great.
Okay, cool. And what sort of work does she do? There's queer elements there too, isn't there?
No, just autobiographical.
Oh, comics, okay. Yep.
Which is pretty cool. I love autobiographical stuff.
Yeah. Do you think you'll do some stuff like that in the future?
I have more? Done some stuff like that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Just little comic, because I used to have really huge boobs, and I got a breast reduction when I was 18.
Wow,
and
okay.
It was a very big thing in my life, and it affected me in so many ways. And I, made a few comics about that topic, and I'll probably return to that one day and do a proper book.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so those are the only real autobiographical stuff I think I've done. Oh, wait, maybe some just silly ones of me and my boyfriend hanging out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be really good because I love autobiographical comics, like the really honest ones. I'm just scared to be that honest.
Yeah, any writer who does that, I guess, or, you know, creator, it's a big risk because you're putting yourself right there and people will interpret it. But that's a matter of perspective.
Yeah.
So it's a brave thing to do and put your work out there, and that's what you're doing. So that's wonderful, Alexis. Any chance of you moving to Melbourne, though?
I'm moving to Canada in February.
Well, that's cold. You'll need that coat.
I will need several coats, I
you
think.
Probably will. Mine is 20 in some places.
Oh, my goodness. Why would you tell me that?
No, not that's right up north, though. Like, I'm sure you're going to Vancouver.
Yeah,
or,
Vancouver.
Yeah, I think it gets minus 10, so that's not as bad.
Yeah, that's warm.
Just taking an ice chipper or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
So you're going to be working there too, obviously? And
They've got lots of animation studios over there.
Of course they do, yeah. I think every sci-fi TV series that's been made in the last 10 years or so has been made in Vancouver.
Awesome.
So you were having a lot of fun there, I should imagine.
Yeah. Yeah,
it'll be great.
Good.
Oh, it'll be sad to see you go, though. But
I'll be back.
There's the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's how we all connect eventually. All right. Do you have a philosophy that you can pass on if there's someone out there who is, say, 14, is listening to this podcast, this interview, and says, look, I really want to draw. I want to write my own comics as well. What would you say to that 14-year-old?
Oh, just do it. Just make them. Because you can definitely do it. It doesn't even matter if you've never picked up a pencil or if your skill level's really bad, because the more you draw, the better you get. And
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, if you just make them, they'll be awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, I know, just make them. Just do comics. I'm really, comics are the best.
And what would you tell them to start reading? The same stuff you did at that age or anything new?
Why the Last Man is a really cool series. All the men and the male animals in the world die because of some weird plague, except for this one guy and his monkey. And then, it's great though. It's like this hypothetical world of like what would happen after this. It's based on a book by Mary Shelley who wrote Frankenstein.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Probably the original.
That's a great series.
Cool.
Ross Campbell is a great comic artist. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. Wet Moon, which is really good, and that's queer. And Shadow Eyes, which has a trans character in it, actually.
Very good.
And recently he did Glory, which is a superhero comic. And I'm not usually into superhero comics, but he was doing this with someone else, and he was just doing the artwork. And he really, he revamped that character. And she is amazing. She's just this solid wall of muscle. The way that he draws people is great, because he just has such a wide variety of body types and different people and races. And Yeah, I really like the stuff that's very inclusive.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
And we can't get enough of that here, I think. Well, we try. All right. Look, it's been wonderful talking to you, chatting to you, to All Sci-Fi and Squeam, Alexis Sugden.
Thank you so much for coming on.
That's great. Oh, your website, I think you've already mentioned it, but do you want to mention it again?
AlexisSugden.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's just got some of my animation and some of my comics. Yeah, I know. Check it out.
We will. All right. Thanks very much for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Oh, thanks for having me, Alexis.
Cheers.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together.
But human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.